Sometimes you get distracted between a Bible class on Sunday afternoon and the time you're supposed to turn everything on up here. I'm going to blame that for why things aren't ready to go right now. But that's my fault for not paying attention to what I needed to do. But if you've got your Bibles open to Psalm 27, go ahead and keep that open there, because that's where our lesson comes from this evening. And continuing with the plan for the year on Sunday evenings of having at least one lesson coming from our scripture reading from the week previous to our gathering together today, that's what we're going to do this evening. Psalm 27 fits into that mold for us because that was part of our scripture reading this past week. And it's important for us, I guess, I don't know, anytime we read scripture, to be able to go through that and look at it and find some value to it. There's always value in Scripture because in it is revealed to us the wisdom of God. But when we go through the Psalms, we get to listen to an individual like David in Psalm 27. And he's going to express some things in this Psalm. And one of the things that I want us to understand is the title of the Psalm comes from verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That is really a powerful statement when you think about how we can apply that to our lives. Normally, when I do a lesson on the Psalms, I'll have a couple slides toward the end of it after we've gone through this, but application or the so what part of the sermon is going to be sprinkled throughout this lesson tonight, and it won't just be coming at the end of it. So I want us to pay attention to that. There is a lot to be said about David in this particular Psalm. If you go back and you look at it in the New King James Version, especially when it comes to the title, it says, an exuberant declaration of faith. And I don't know about you or how you exude your faith out toward others, but David has a poetic pen, and he is able to put in words sometimes things that I fail to be able to express. And the joy of the Lord and this idea of the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? It escapes me at times to be able to be fearless like David. But at the same time, when I look at the Psalms and in Psalm 27, I see emotion in David's pen and the words that he expressed, and I see sometimes the emotional highs and the emotional lows that he goes through. In that very first verse, that's what he's expressing. He's expressing an emotional high, you know, because just like David, our emotions swing back and forth like a pendulum, don't they? We have good days one, and then bad days. It just seems like we're on this continual swing or the roller coaster ride of our emotions. That first hill on a roller coaster, do you remember that? You start going up real slow, and that track is pulling you up that first hill. So when you get up to that top, the apex of that first hill, then all of a sudden you experience that sudden drop. Well, sometimes our emotions are like that too. Sometimes we're on that slow climb to the emotional high, and then when we go experience that emotional low, it is that sudden drop in life that does it to us. David, within this psalm, has that type of swing of emotions. Because in verse 1, he has that emotional high, and then a little bit later in verse 9, he says, O Lord, do not hide your face from me. There are sometimes those anxious lows and the imploring words of an afflicted man in this part of the psalm spills forward for us. A man who is seeking deliverance from those who desire to breathe violence against him. But yet he has that confidence in the beginning of this psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I think about David quite often when I hear this type of phrase. And there is a song, we don't have the supplement to the songbook that we are using currently, but in that supplement there is a song that echoes these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. It's beautiful words to sing, but it's even more beautiful to be able to enact it in our lives and place it there and have that type of fear of God, that reverence for God, that trust in God, that no matter what happens to me in my life, He's always going to be there. As some of the young kids will say, He's got my back. When I think of it in those terms, I think of Paul when he talks about Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think of Paul and David together. There's no reason to fear because God is on our side. David's fear, though, is those who would destroy. It's not necessarily in those who would destroy him. Instead, he fears that the Lord will turn his face from him. I think about the imploring words of this particular psalm, of who he is and those breathing violence. But as I said, David's fear is not in the enemy, but the fact that God would ever turn his face from him. You think about that. We've got enemies on every side of us. And in living in the world today, we think about religious freedom and the attack on religious freedom in our country right now. And you think about those things. It is coming. That war is being waged on every side of us. And yet, do we have the attitude of David? That in spite of the enemy and what they desire to happen to us, they'd like us to disappear. They'd like us to quit standing up for Christ. I want to make a suggestion. The next time we sing that song, Soldiers of Christ Arise, there's only one proper way to sing that song, and that's to be standing. Just like stand up for Jesus, there's only one way to proper position to sing that. And the Soldiers of Christ Arise, I've sung it this way before. As soon as the verse starts out, you may be sitting, but everybody's rise up during that song. When you sing that song with that type of confidence, that the confidence that David has, whom shall I fear? It's realizing who is our light and our salvation. But David cries out, "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Do not leave me nor forsake me," in verse 9 of the chapter. And the reason for that is David knew his only hope. His only hope for deliverance was God's strength and God's faithfulness to him. As he continued to pray, his thoughts turned to learning the ways of the Lord. You think about that. In that same chapter, verse 11, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a smooth path." Now, I want you to consider for just a moment. You just go backwards for a time being. And think about David when he's a young man, young boy, teenager, or however young he was when he faced Goliath. What was his attitude compared to that of the rest of Israel? Israel was afraid, wasn't he? But do you know that David's love for God has always been evident in his life? I think it began way back as a young man. It wasn't just something that happened when he became king of Israel. It was something that he desired from a very young age. And so this idea of "teach me your way, O Lord," was something that David pursued in his life. The application, even for us in this particular sense, is we need to understand that studying to show ourselves approved of God puts trust in His Word. It's "teach me your way, O Lord," to where the only place that we're going to find God's way is by spending time in His Word, to truly let Him be our light and our salvation. Let Him be our guide. Let His Word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. The way of the Lord is to fear no one, to seek to dwell in His house. So what is David asking for when he says, "Teach me, O Lord, lead me in a smooth path"? Now think about that. We're going to talk about the things that he was requesting when he was asking, "Teach me, O Lord." But think about this. Is life always going to be that? Are we always going to walk on that smooth path? Wouldn't it be wonderful if there were every highway that we ever drove down had no potholes in it? We'd never have to worry about our cars needing alignment. We'd never have to worry about blowouts or anything like that experiencing from the potholes. If we had a spiritual life that was the same way, no stumbling blocks, no temptations, no sin in our lives, we'd be on that smooth path all the time, wouldn't we? I think it's a realization also that sometimes we get off of that smooth path and we need to be directed back to it. That is important for us in our own lives. I think about David, and I think about this, "Teach me, Lord, your ways. Lead me in a smooth path." Sometimes that smooth path is a little bit rough at the beginning. And if we allow God to direct our footsteps, the path does become smoother. The only reason the path ever becomes rocky or rough is because we've made it that way. That's not the path that God wants us to be on. Now, teach me, O Lord. A few things that he's decided that he wants to know. Teach me, O Lord, first off, to fear not. You think about all of that, of whom shall I be afraid? But teach me not to be afraid. And David's has a threefold chord of praise within this psalm. The Lord is my light, He is my salvation, and He's the strength of my life. Now that gets me thinking too, that this threefold chord of praise gets me thinking about Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Talking about that threefold cord that is not easily broken. If we want to be able to stand fearless because God is our light, because He is our salvation, because He is our strength, then we're going to allow God to remain at the center of our lives. I made mention about some thoughts that I came up with about Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and I'm not trying to preach a different sermon here right now, but that threefold cord that's mentioned there, we use it oftentimes when we talk about marriage. We use it in everything because of its strength. But it starts out back in about verse 9 instead of verse 12, talking about two are better than one. There's a principle there that is very true, that two are stronger than one, just about anywhere in any principle that you want to talk about. Whether it be in marriage, whether it be with friends, whether it be with evangelism, but if it's you and God, that's going to be a strong relationship also. But a threefold cord, with God being at the center of everything that's wrapped around Him, makes that cord unbreakable. It provides strength. And David has presented this in this way very early in this epistle. When armies encamp against us, you think about the poise that David has now because of the enemies that are around him. David could face them. He could go out and slay a giant because he knew God was on his side. He could face enemies that wanted to put him to death, even a king that wanted him dead. He could overcome that because he didn't fear, because he knew God was with him. He knew where his true strength was. Even when his son Absalom tried to usurp the throne, he knew where his true strength was. Even when enemies of other nations would come up against him, he knew where his true strength lied. And it was with God. And David could face it against anyone who came against him because he was guided by the Lord's light. He relied upon the Lord's salvation. And he lived by the Lord's strength. Do you see your application there? When life gets rough, put on a helmet. No, that's not what it's saying. But you could wear the helmet of salvation. When you talk about the armor of God, God has given us those things to help our guide our lives. And we may never have an army encamped around us like David had experienced. But in the depths of our spiritual struggles, we experience these attacks. Look at this. Verse 26, or verse 6 of chapter 27. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. You think about that. In the depth of the spiritual attacks that we face today, David faced a physical enemy that wanted him to die, wanted to destroy him and the nation of Israel for that matter. But you think about this. The depths of spiritual struggles that we go through, that emotional roller coaster that we experience in life. Disappointments. You know, disappointments don't seem that big at sometimes when we think about it. But here's the thing. People disappoint people from time to time, don't they? What happens when we get disappointed in one another? Are we able to overcome that? Or do we allow those disappointments to fester and become bitterness in our lives? When we allow bitterness in our life, a disappointment becomes a very serious thing, doesn't it? Because that bitterness sometimes will cause us to turn away from God. David says, I'm not going to allow disappointments in my life to turn me away from God, because he's even praying that God doesn't turn his face from him in this, but he's relying on this and knows that his head, David, is going to be lifted up. He's not going to be the one doing the exalting here. It's going to be God that's going to be taking care of that for him. It's going to be God that who placed him on the throne that's going to keep him there. And the enemies are going to be defeated. Temptations. Now, David succumbed to temptation himself in his life. We have temptations everywhere in our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us there is no temptation that is thrown at us that we cannot overcome, because God has always provided a way of escape. But if we're looking for that way of escape, what we're looking at is God as our light, as our salvation, and as our strength. And when we overcome, can we be lifted up like David? Oh, absolutely. Sorrows. We weep from time to time for various reasons. Whether it's the loss of a loved one, or whether it may be just the simple loss of a friendship. It could be the loss of a job. You name it. Sorrows can mount up too. But in spite of those, we can overcome just like David does. Doubts. Probably one of the most dangerous things in our lives is becoming skeptical about things. Have you ever gone through a stage in your life where you've doubted your faith? If you haven't, you are a very exceptional person. I can honestly tell you that when I was younger, I did. I struggled with my faith. I had my own doubts. I know people today that are experiencing doubts with their own faith and they're struggling with it. But when they look at the big picture, and I think David is looking at the bigger picture right here in all of this, in order for his head to be lifted up above his enemies, above any distractions in the world, above any doubts that he might face, it has to be that you trust in God. Here's where you come into Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12 again. Standing strong in the face of opposition, we hold tightly to the threefold cord that is not quickly broken. We hang on. Remember this morning, we made that holding fast to our confession. What we're doing is we're holding on to that threefold cord of our faith and our trust in God by staying strong and holding on, holding fast to that confession. David has his trust in God, that he is his light, his salvation, and his strength. Teach me, O Lord, to dwell in your house. Well, I think about that and the things that David could have requested from God, and this in this prayer. Teach me, O Lord. I want to dwell in your house for all of my days. What a wonderful thought. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David said it another way in other places, but in Psalm 122 and verse 1, you see the love David had for being in the presence of God when he says, I was glad when they said to me, excuse me, when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. David never wanted God to turn his face away from him. So much so that when he sinned, it bothered him. He would weep at night. He would be so consumed with his guilt that his pillow was soaking wet. He would be so consumed with his guilt that he would ask God, create in me a clean heart in Psalm chapter 51. Why? Because he wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. He wanted to be in God's presence. In the house of the Lord, it would be that David could behold the beauty of God, make inquiry of him, and be hidden from his own personal troubles. You think about this for just a moment. David's desire was to leave life's difficulties and burdens behind him and hide in that secret place in God's house. We have a secret place even for ourselves today. In the house of God and in the presence of God, and that's prayer. Psalm 27 is basic, in essence, a prayer. It is that exuberant declaration of faith, but it is a prayer. It is a request of God. Teach me your way, O Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, Lord, your face I will seek. He does it because he wants to be in his house and in his presence. When we are in the presence of the Lord in prayer, are there benefits to it? Is that a place where we can hide from our troubles? Think about it for just a moment, because it is a place of safety, isn't it, when we pray to God? When we are at our most intimate time in the presence of God alone in prayer, whether you do what Jesus said when he exclaimed the fact, go into your closet to pray, when you go off to that place of solitude, do you not find security in that prayer, that time of prayer? And then just possibly all the fleeting cares of the world slip away in the background. Do you not see that it is a place for strength? Like David is praying for that and recognizing that strength here. When we go and talk to God privately, do you ever leave that time of solitude coming out of prayer refreshed, revived, and strengthened? It's because you very likely believe like David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When you think about that place of solitude in prayer, comfort, peace, all are part of it. Especially when you are alone in the presence of God. You're in his house when you do that. Because you want to dwell in his house all the days of your life like David did. You're going to communicate with God. You may not be as poetic as David is in the 27th Psalm or even the 23rd Psalm or any Psalm that David writes. But you're going to listen to David and others, and as with David, seeking to dwell in the house of the Lord through prayer should be a priority even in our life. Just like Paul told the church at Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. We must learn that in times of trouble, we seek this hiding place. And just like the disciples said to Jesus, teach us, Lord, to pray, we can do that as well. There's a third thing that David sought to be taught. Teach me to wait. When I look at verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Seems to just simply be the summation of everything that David is expressing right here. The entire psalm is composed to bring the reader to this point. No matter what trials I face, no matter what enemy besets me, you're my light, you're my salvation, you're my strength. But my trust in you means I have to wait on you. Our patience with God is important because the enemies of David would have loved to see him stumble. The world wants us to do the same thing. Satan wants to put stumbling blocks in our way. He wants us to be devoured by him. And anything that he can put between us and God, whatever little wedge it might be, he gains a foothold. And we need to stop it before it happens. By maintaining the attitude of David, even if an army came and camped against us, just like it did with David, to war against him, he would wait confidently without fear. Are we willing to do that? When adversaries rose up against him, he waited and he refused to lose heart. Go back to verse 13, where he says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How did he learn to wait on the Lord? How did he learn to be patient? It was through faith. His faith in God. His trust in the one who gave him strength. Through it all, he waited for the Lord to be his light. Now think about that for a minute. Even when David's enemies ran at him, he waited. And they stumbled. Even if an army came against him, he would wait confidently without fear. And through it all, he waited for the Lord. So when life seems darkest, when it seems like, and what we tend to do is we believe God has abandoned us, what we need to do is wait on the Lord. When attacks come from everywhere, every corner, when the world just comes converging on you with all of its weight, wait on the Lord. And when we've lost the smooth path and don't know where to go, wait on the Lord. If He's your light, your salvation, and your strength, you'll find Him because He hasn't abandoned you at all. Lord, hear us cry. Hear us when we cry. Have mercy upon us and answer us. Teach us your ways and lead us in a smooth path. Because you are our light, our salvation, and the strength of our lives. Every child of God should be able to be like David and not be afraid, because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Take out your songbooks. Consider the song of invitation this evening. To you, are you coming to Jesus tonight? Do you trust God? Are you willing to let Him be your light, your salvation, and your strength? Then you'll do that in reconciling your life to God if that's what needs to be done this evening. If it is a life that has strayed from God and you've gotten off of the smooth path, let's get back on it. Confess that sin to Him and He will be faithful and just to forgive you of that unrighteousness. And you can start walking that smooth path. And live a life that has a desire to dwell in the house of the Lord all of your days. In other words, be faithful till you die so that you can receive that crown of life. And if you've never obeyed the gospel before, that opportunity is yours too. You've not ever walked on that smooth road yet, that smooth path yet. But if you want the Lord to be your light, your salvation, and your strength, then act in your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins, confessing before men, be baptized for the remission of your sins, be buried, dead to sin, to rise and walk in newness of life, and go on your way rejoicing down that smooth path. Because Jesus talks about two roads, a narrow road and a broad road. The narrow road is the smooth path because it leads to eternal life. Stay on that. We can help you in reconciling your life to God this evening. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.